Hi, everyone. I'm Crystal Tennille Irby, mother of four, three boys and one girl.
Am I next? But I was trying to get to...
We go in the same order.
I'm sorry. Time. Okay. Okay, I'm ready. I'm too chill. I made a mistake. I should have drank lavender tea. I drank the wrong tea. It's okay. I'll be fine. You know, that makes a big fucking difference. But okay. As I drink more of it. As I drink more of it.
And sips from the lavender cup that okay. says, be present.
And the fight. Lavender just, present. You see, I'm like okay. this. I'm like, oh, we recording, nigga. Is that why we up this morning? Yes, bitch. Get up. Have some life about yourself.
What the fuck?
Okay. I'm pulling it together now.
Yeah,
I'll do it right now. Okay.
Yes, go ahead.
And I'm Thea Monier, mother of three girls.
And I'm Nikisha Killings, also mother of three girls.
And welcome to a special Mother's Day episode of...
Dem Black Mamas.
Dem Black Mamas.
Black Mamas.
I'm still... You know what it is? I'm sorry. I dragged it out.
I was like, why is her mouth moving?
I did. I know.
I thought we decided we weren't going to sing it.
I know. I forgot. It's welcome to another episode of Dem Black Mamas. Just Dem Black Mamas.
Are we going to do that now or no? Is that we just going to leave it be?
Well, Nikisha has a spelling bee to get her kids to. We know who's the mother of the year in this group.
We sure do.
If I was homeschooling, we would be doing the least amount of shit possible. Like, we ain't gotta do that.
What do you need to pass?
What?
Did you meet the standard? Is the spelling bee required to meet the standards?
It is not required. Oh, I think it's gonna be fun. Mm. Stay tuned. There probably will be tears, but these are life lessons, you know?
It's real.
That's what it's about.
Your kids are gonna cry because who's all in it? Are all of your kids in it?
The two big girls are in it.
And if they don't win, you think that they'll cry?
Yes.
Yes.
Oh my God. When I used to get out in the spelling bee, I was so relieved. I would be like,
you know, I use you as an example to my students that are like overstressed about high achieving. I said, my friend Crystal is like one of the smartest people I know. And you know who taught me the phrase C's gets degrees? It was Crystal Irby. I was like, literally, she has the capacity to get A's, but she's like, why? When you can pass with C's. And maybe you should adopt a little bit of that in your life. And stop stressing yourself out. I mean, she's my go-to when I'm trying to be like, hey, man, you ain't got to do all that. Just look for Crystal Irby. She's out there.
I was an honor student in high school. I didn't take honors classes, but I made A's and B's. I didn't take the honors classes because I didn't want to do all that. Like, they had, like, a summer reading list. I'm like, you know, we're doing cheerleading during the summer. I'm not trying to do a summer reading list. I'm not trying to study for an AP exam and all that stuff.
But guess who was doing the summer list and the AP exam? Right here.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah,
right here. The House of Seven Gables. I still haven't finished that shit. I still haven't finished. That was like one of the roughest reads.
Yeah, Nathaniel Hawthorne.
I will never understand.
Yeah, they would send the letters home to my mom. I would intercept them because my mom worked second shift, so the mail ran after she went to work. And I just wasn't trying to, you know, do that.
See, God knows when to bring friends into your life. Because like, we would have been in high school like, why is she doing so much? Why is she doing so little? Just judging each other. But luckily, we met at a time when I needed a dose of C's get degrees in my life.
No, I had a lot of my good friends were in honors classes, and they were like, Crystal, you don't want to do honors AP English? Nope. Mm-mm. good right here. That's on hilarious. The tier down. Like the, I was on the college track, but I wasn't on the honors track. So I was like, hey, I'm going to college. So
honors honors college should come with Xanax.
Yeah, because they they were kind of stressed.
It's a stressful, high pressure thing. I can see parenting, like, I would have to weigh that out. Because I just wouldn't want my kid to be an anxious mess. And every client I see that's from the Honors College is an anxious mess. It's either people who get it really easily and fly right through it, or people who are just like constantly feeling subpar. And it's like, it's just ruining like, their college experience.
I think Talani would be great. Like, I think Talani would be fine in it. I think
Taya would have a really hard time.
Yeah, she would have a hard time. But Keisha, good luck to your girls though. And if they, you know, I don't know, take them for some Krispy Kremes or something. And tell them
Krispy Kreme out here. You know, we don't have no Krispy.
They have a Krispy Kreme in LA.
That's where you come in. You got a couple more weeks.
Yeah. Yes.
And tell them you have a friend who is a horrible speller. She thought the rule was E before I, except after C. Today she just learned it's I before E, except after C. And I'm doing pretty well in life. So
they're going to do fine. I think that they just need to learn how to be gracious in failure. And that's a good life lesson. So what is that face? You don't want.
I have my thing about losing. It's
how to fail gracefully.
I feel like it depends on who wins. I don't know.
I mean, I mean, we could just say how to be gracious when you don't win. I don't think we have to say fail.
That's a good point.
This is what happens when you don't win.
But it's you know, there's a lesson in knowing that you can work really, really hard
to get it. And not get it. This is true.
And not get it. And that's okay. The journey was.
Because Crystal is not a journey person. Because she is not a journey person.
I'm still learning that.
Crystal is an outcome person. I'm not. She wants the end results.
I'm not.
So you talk to her about journey, and her eyes get real tight and squinty.
Yeah.
She does. She's like, do I feel like if I did all this? Crystal's like, if I did all this and didn't get it, like, I'm done. I'm never doing that again.
I sincerely believe Kerry Washington is living my life right now. Like, I believe that, okay, that totally should have been my life. So, I mean, I don't know. I consider my time in LA, I think I failed. I did not get an Oscar. I did not get nominated for one award. I mean, I didn't get a speaking part on any show, so that's why. But I feel like my time in LA was a failure. So,
And see, I would be like, but I'm excited. Crystal, but you know, you became a poet and you performed and you made all these friends. And she's like, but my goal was.
Okay. So all that you accomplished doesn't quite matter as long as you didn't hit that goal that you were working toward. That's what you're saying?
Well, let's keep it 100. You guys do the podcast with me. You know how I am. Like,
See, Nakisha, I just accept
But I'm excited that we maybe see your kids on the ESPN Spelling Bee because I do watch that. You know so what? I am going to be rooting for them. And when the kids pass out, it's
that
like
gives me,
I'm like, oh my God.
That gives me the most tension. I can't watch that. There is something so devastating about when a kid.
It upsets me so.
Oh, God. Yeah. It is like the Easter speeches at church. Like, oh, they're not going to make it through. So I do watch. So good luck to your girls, Nakisha. I hope that they win.
I'll take it. Thank you, boo. I'll let y'all know. Stay tuned.
And if you can give them cues or any sort, like coughs or anything, and you need to text us and ask us how to spell words, make sure you address those texts to Thea.
Text us and... You see the by any means necessary of Crystal Irby. She's like, lie, steal, cheat.
I'm going to just let this win.
A win is a win. No, I didn't say cheat. You go right up to the rule.
Coughing. You go right up to the rule. Is a cheat.
Especially if you cough the letters
during a spelling bee.
You can't
Trump.
Do that. You can't do
Miss
that.
Go up to the line. That is.
Right.
See, by any means necessary. Mm-hmm. Look at her face. By any means. Her in her head, she's thinking, but would you leave with the trophy, though? That's what she's thinking. You have to remember that you're interacting with the Aries. It helps put everything into perspective.
You know, the world needs all types to go around. We need mm-hmm. a sprinkling of those Aries mm-hmm. to make the world. Because
Talani
work.
And her would be lock and step. Talani would be like, Auntie Krista, cough.
But then I'd be like, you don't want me to be the person you to don't give you the spelling cues. Let's go.
Someone else did.
Yeah.
Be out there coughing the letters.
E before I. E before I. E before I. I'm certain of it. Hard G. Hard G. With so much confidence, though. She'd do it with so much confidence. And then when it was wrong, she'd be like,
oh, yes. What? Yes.
That was wrong.
It's confusing the babies.
That was like, wrong. They really changed thought. That? When did they change that? It was never changed. It was never changed. It was always I before E.
Consider your sources. That's a lesson. Consider your sources.
Oh, God.
See? There's a life lesson in everything. There you
but
go.
Good luck to your girls, Keish. Good luck.
Thank you. Stay tuned. I'll let you know how
and
it goes.
I'm so inspired by you, Keish. It just helps me to like stop, you know, doing the minimum. Because my kids are really smart, and I just feel like, oh God, I'm gonna pull it together. Okay, so this is our special Mother's Day episode, and so we're gonna go outside the format. This time, and we have two questions that each of us are going to answer about our mothers. Before we get started, we wanted to acknowledge a couple of things before we get into that. The first thing that we wanted to acknowledge, or the first people we wanted to acknowledge, are the family of Jordan Edwards. And Jordan Edwards mm-hmm. is the 15-year-old mm-hmm. who was murdered by the police in Texas as him and his brothers were driving away from a party. A police officer shot an assault rifle into their car. He ducked and the first bullet missed him. And when he rose back up, the second bullet hit him and he fell over into the lap of his brother, his older brother, who was driving the car. They then kept driving and slowed the car down. And once they stopped the car, police surrounded them and arrested his two brothers while Jordan lay dying in the car. And they didn't know if their brother was dead or alive or, you know, really what was happening. They were just leaving a party and a neighbor called because they were complaining about the noise and the number of people at the party. And this is what happened. So we want to send not only our condolences out to their family, but a lot of healing, a lot of light. Please hold them in the light. And when I say healing, that doesn't mean not seeking justice and that they don't have a right to be angry, but that they begin to process their new normal. And we know that Mother's Day is going to be extremely hard for Charmaine Edwards. So we will definitely be holding her in the light. Yes. And to all those who have lost their children by murder of the police. So we just wanted to acknowledge that and send them all the love and all the light that we can.
We'll be posting something soon about it as well.
Yes. Thea has written a poem dedicated to the mothers of the movement, and we will be posting that on all of our social media platforms. Go ahead, Keish.
I was going to say, I want us to also hold up the mothers of Philando Castile mm-hmm. and Alton Sterling, because this will be their first Mother's Day without their sons, and so many others whose names we can readily call, but we know those weren't the only two since last Mother's Day mm-hmm. Who were killed at the hands of the state.
And there's been 107 killings of Black people by police, Jordan Edwards being the 107th and the youngest this year so far.
So we just want to hold all of those people in the light this yes. Mother's Day. So Nikisha is going to tell us about a wonderful, wonderful cause for Mother's Day. And it's sort of a collection plate cause. Well, it is a collection plate cause, but we're not going to do collection plate causes full out this episode. But Nikisha is going to tell us about something we think you should definitely boost on all of your social media and donate to if you can.
So there is a phenomenon that is happening all over the United States and disproportionately affecting our communities, and it has to do with cash bail and how expensive it is for people to get out of jail after they've been arrested for even the most minute of charges, minimum charges that have nothing to do with violence or hurting another human being. And those who are affected the most right now are mothers. Black mothers are being jailed mm-hmm. and held for bail, for cash mm-hmm. bail, and they cannot afford to get out. And there's a wonderful effort underway. The larger organization is called NoMoreMoneyBail.org. This is the website, No More Money Bail. And they're working hard to get the cash bail system completely overhauled and thrown out. And this covers all mm-hmm. mothers, to include queer, trans, mm-hmm. younger, mm-hmm. older, mm-hmm. immigrant mothers. That's great. Help those mothers get from behind bars and not mm-hmm. be condemned mm-hmm. to cages for crimes that are just minimal. So you can
and
help
crimes
today,
they haven't even been convicted of. If right. it's bail, they haven't even right. been convicted no. of those crimes. They're just in jail because they can't afford to get out.
And just in that vein, we also have to remember the mothers who are being detained. You know, I'm in LA. ICE is mm-hmm. real. We have a student on campus whose mother
yes.
has been detained, and they don't have information on what that looks like. And so the disruption of families has been a long-term systemic strategy to ensure the crippling of certain communities. And it is a multi-generational effect. It impacts everybody. Children who have to become parents to take that space in the home, who have to leave their childhoods early to economically take care of their siblings. A sense of security, a sense of safety is completely not just for that moment disrupted, but then what that child will then teach children after that about what safety looks like is influenced by these disruptions. And so
yes.
we start to teach
yes.
our babies and children, raise them as though disruption is inevitable, as though safety is an illusion. And this is all a part of the traumatic impacts of these sort of systemic disruptions. And it is strategic, and it is not by accident. It is definitely by design.
When a child's mother is arrested, held for bond, or put in prison,
yes.
that child is more likely to end up
yes,
in the foster
absolutely.
Care system than is a child
yes.
whose father is in the criminal justice system. And neither one
right.
is good. But when the
no.
mother is in
yeah,
hell,
immediately, yeah.
then there is no one to, when a father is held, the mother is the person who makes sure that the child maintains a relationship with that incarcerated male. But when the mother is incarcerated or held on bail or whatever, there sometimes is no one to make sure that that child has that connection to her. And there is sometimes no one left to care for the child. Mm-hmm. And so when a woman who has children is in the criminal justice system, her children are more likely to end up in the foster care system. So Nikisha, this is like a really, really great cause. And shout out to Black Joy Mixtape, because this is where you first heard about it.
Yes, thank you, Crystal. That all of that, if we think about the impact your family mm-hmm. mm-hmm. would have, mm-hmm. the impact it would have on your family, if you were
right.
gone just for a few mm-hmm. days. For a few days, you would lose yeah. your job, you could lose your children, you could lose your home, mm-hmm. all of things. This horrible, catastrophic
yeah.
path is put into motion when a mother is
mm-hmm.
yanked out
mm-hmm.
of her community
mm-hmm.
just for a few days. And many of these women
yeah.
we know are
just,
away for months,
even,
just
yeah.
awaiting
mm-hmm.
a trial. And so the whole system is screwed. The whole system needs to be overhauled. They use the phrase cash
mm.
bail is ransom.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's very appropriate. It's very appropriate. So please, please, please visit the website, nomoremoneybail.org.
Oh, that's great. That's great. Thanks, Keish. Thanks for finding that for us. That's great. So we are going to go into our Mother's Day question.
Lord help us.
So I'm so excited about this. So we have two questions that each of us is going to answer about our mothers for Mother's Day.
And we're going to start off by saying our mother's name. So, Nakisha, your mother is?
Annette. She is Annette.
You can get a job with that name.
Yeah, you know, like.
You can get it to college with that name.
Yeah. We all end in May or Ann in my family. So, that's, like, really good. Mm. Okay. So, yeah. The first question is, this is an either or question. Okay. So, when did you know your mama was a G? Or tell us your favorite story about your mom.
So, okay. So for me, this is heavy. So I'll bring it down. Y'all bring it back up later, maybe with some lighter stories. But for Annette, as her family calls her, I call her Annette.
Mm-hmm.
Annette. See the
difference? There's Annette. The Ann, Crystal. There's the Ann.
I can't wait till we do like a live show. So like Nakisha is the prissiest person I have ever met in my life. Like, her manners are always together, her etiquette is always on point, and she's so prissy. So of course she would say Annette, like, and so, and I would be like Annette, like Annette, like, give me Annette.
And yeah. T before E.
I get it from my mama. When you are in her presence, you will get it. It will all make sense. It will all come together. So this is all right. So my mother is an extremely strong woman. And I did not know that until, I think I probably didn't fully come into understanding that until I became a mother myself. But now in this place as a mom, with girls of my own, I understand so many of the decisions she made when I was growing up. I understand who she is so much better. And when I recognized she was a G, I guess, was also something that I came into probably more recent. So I've always known that she was kind of the different one amongst her siblings. I've always known she was the one girl to leave home. I've written about that before. And so she was always on her own path. And that in itself mm-hmm. is kind of a G move, because she left the Carolinas and came all the way down to Florida just on some looking for a better life for her family with my dad and two little girls, two toddlers at that point. And so I'm ever grateful to her for that move, because my life would have been very different if I'd grown up where most of my cousins and such
indeed.
Grew up in the Carolinas.
Indeed,
so that,
as someone who was born and raised in the Carolinas, indeed.
And this was in the country. I mean, they were in the country. So I just had a very different life altogether from so many of my first cousins for the choices that my parents made. And my mother, of course, was very instrumental in that. So that I've always known and had in my back pocket. It wasn't until 2006, when my mother had two children, two girls, and my older sister was killed. And it was brutal, and it was tragic, and it was at the hands of her husband, estranged husband, and it happened at my mother's home. And as you can
take a deep breath. Take a deep breath.
As you can imagine, that would be devastating for anyone. And just tragic all the way around. My sister was a mother. And I preface with that by saying it was to watch my mother go through the loss of a child. To watch her and to, as a mother now, understand how great that loss must be, and to see her come out on the other side of it, who she is today. Yeah, mm-hmm. She's a G. Mm-hmm. And she's not a G because she survived that, because I think we all have it in us to survive some mm-hmm. horrible stuff. It's in our genes, man. We've been through so much, and this is who we are. We built for this stuff, right? We don't want to be, but we mm-hmm. are. But where I give her so much credit is in what she's mm-hmm. doing with the grief, what she's doing with that loss in her life is, Crystal, you know what this means. She's mm-hmm. on the repass committee.
Yes. Repass is
I mean, it's the key at a, it's the moment at the Black funeral, that and when they, and you know, who got the body is, those are the most, who gonna do the body, who got the body and repass. That is the moment that, after the person is officially gone, because you've put them into the ground, that the family comes together. So it's important that that moment is a moment where everyone can breathe and be nurtured.
Mm-hmm. And this is where she shines. Mm. So she couldn't for a long time go to funerals, because that was actually a rough couple of years, right? The year before my sister lost her son to a brain tumor, and then my sister nearly exactly a year later. And so we couldn't as a family go to funerals for a long time. It was just a lot to move forward from. But what she could do was be at the church in the kitchen, making meals to feed the families when they came back from funerals. She does it to this day. So 11 years later. Most Saturdays, Annette is at the church serving up love and giving hugs and pouring into mothers who felt what she's felt and families who have lost what she's lost. And this is how she heals and how she helps to heal others. And so for
that, she's a G.
Oh my God.
She's a G.
I love that. And I know Nikisha and I have been friends for 20 years now. It's 20 years, right?
Yeah, it is.
And so I got the phone call when her sister was murdered, and I know what a time that was for her mom. And when a child is taken away like that, is you have a funeral. I remember your sister was on life support and you guys had to make the decision to take her off. And so it's more than just someone being gone, someone dying. Yeah. And your mother had to go through the trial, the investigation. They still live in that home. You know, I know what your family's been through. And so to do that, I mean, I think that's an amazing way to serve and to understand that that's a really important part of the process of losing someone. The repass is really the beginning of the after. Because, you know, like up until that point, people are coming to your house, people are bringing you food. The body hasn't been put into the ground, or Thea wants to be cremated and turned into a tree.
Yes, please.
None of that has happened yet. And so the repass is the moment where that person is officially, like, you're never, ever going to see them again. So it's the beginning of life after. So
you literally are looking around in the room and saying, this is who we are now. Minus this person. This is the family. This is a community. This is our village now. And their loss is felt tremendously in that space. But you look around and see who you're there with, who's moving forward with you in this journey. Yeah.
Whew. Ooh, yes. I don't know if that was heavy. I think it was beautiful.
So. Yeah.
The second question is, now let me say it right, because I had some difficulty with the wording here. So
I before E.
No, I know how to pronounce all the words. I'm bad at pronouncing words as well. Today I found out that it wasn't Gethsemane, that it was Gethsemane. What is it? The Garden of Gethsemane. And here's the thing. I wonder why I've never heard a preacher say that. I mean, I must have heard a preacher say that, right? Okay. I have so many questions about my Baptist upbringing. All right.
As you should.
Because we didn't know where the Garden of Eden was. We just like, I'm wondering, like, what Sunday school? Are they accredited?
And I went to Sunday school and Bible study. Like, I don't know. Maybe I was writing a poem when they were talking about that. Okay. So the next question is, what major decisions did your mother make that reshape or inform your womanhood today?
So I said a little bit of that before. I think leaving home and striking out and doing something different really impacted the trajectory of my life. And then to be in a new place, to be in Florida, and to have to, you know, plant some roots and find a village and create community for her children, I think was huge. And in doing so, she really artfully, I think, chose aunties and chose women who I could model myself after and chose those who were role models in a way that I could see myself in a lot of different paths and choose what made sense for us. And my sister and I made different choices, but we did so because we had options. We had women around us who showed us what it would look like to go in a lot of different directions, and we chose those. And then I think just as important was the way that she modeled for me womanhood, femininity, what it was like to stand in my feminine power, if you will, and kind of be unabashedly feminine and effeminate in a way that I think is a lost art today. And I appreciate that about her. Yeah, I am what you describe me as. Crystal is my mother's child all day. I'm not like her in a lot of ways, but I appreciate her modeling for me what it meant to be woman, and to have come into that and to be able to give that gift to other future women. I appreciate that.
Oh, that's beautiful.
I can't wait to meet Annette.
Good.
We need to have a dim black mama's potluck. Luncheon, brunch.
Annette, when I met Annette at in Akeisha's college graduation, and she was, yeah, you guys are mirror images of each other, because she was so
together. Put together.
Yes, it was so put together, you know, and it was so like, you know, elegant and classy. Whereas, of course, at my graduation, my mom had on some sort of animal print for sure. For sure, if we look back at the pictures.
Yeah, she's real genteel. Yeah. But I will say, y'all are going to have to put a little handle on that. Ooh, y'all can't just call her.
No, no, oh, no, I wouldn't call her. Yeah. I wouldn't call her that. No.
Because she, no. You will get a mean side after that.
No, what do we call her? I wouldn't call her that.
Okay.
You call her Miss Annette.
Miss Annette. But we don't have to do the last name.
Yeah.
Auntie. No, okay. You don't have to. You can be familiar.
Yeah. What do you call my mom, Edame? Yes, you do. I can hear it.
But she loves me.
I remember my wedding.
Only because you do. I do only because you do. But I probably would be.
You know, we don't grow up like that in L.A. But I don't know if it's just L.A. But it's also like my mother's family. Mm-hmm. This was interesting. I think we've talked about this. They all call their mothers by their first name. So Barbara is, I call her grandma, but my mom says Barbara. All her kids say Barbara. Yeah, all her
really?
Kids.
Really?
Mark was stunned too, because, you know, he's from St. Louis, and like, it's like Aunt this or Miss this. It ain't no first name. But my mom and all her siblings call my grandmother Barbara. Even my cousin, who spent a lot of time with my grandmother, calls her Barbara. My grandmother called her mother Lillian. And like, there, we don't have the Miss.
Yeah, I don't. I call your mom Grammy.
Yeah.
Because I know I can't call her Miss Monica. Because
no.
I think if I call her Miss Monica, she'll be like,
yeah, no. It's real super familiar in my family. I call Mark's mom Miss Benson, but I think I did that kind of naturally. I caught Mark off guard too, because it was like, everybody's like, Barbara. Nobody said, they don't even say mama. Most, they say Barbara. I know.
That is interesting. Yeah. That is interesting. Okay, Thea, you want to go or you want me to go?
I can go because, you know, my story is a little traumatic and I just want to get that part over with. So
Thea, when did you know your mama was a G, or what is your favorite story about your mom?
Crystal knows this story. So I probably was about 14, 15 years old.
Were you that young?
I was that young. I was about 15. And I'm just going to say, if you were a teenager in the 90s, you dated a thug if you lived in L.A. Like, I mean, it was impossible. I mean, you didn't know if they was officially jumped into the gang or not, but they repped it. They repped it, right? I mean, I just want to say that so that y'all who might judge me for this decision. Y'all who might judge me for this decision
will
recognize that you are,
I'm going to
say you a damn lie. You a damn lie if you say you grew up in L.A. in the 90s and you didn't date a baby something, a little something, a little Sean, baby Q. Like, you did it, okay? So let's not, don't you dare.
I dated a drug dealer. Well, I didn't know he was a drug dealer, but I was in eighth grade. And I found out he was dealing drugs. I don't know how I didn't know he was dealing drugs. Like, he had his own car in eighth grade. And I was like, you deal drugs? I'm in the Just Say No Club. And he was like, can you please not?
The Just Say No Club.
Yeah. I was like, I'm student body president.
pregnant and you're dealing drugs. And he was like, can we please not talk about this over the phone? Can we please talk about this the next time?
Yeah, because you know they be tracing calls. Why? So they be tracing calls.
Girl, I was so like, girl.
She's so naive.
Yes.
So I say that that's so to cute, say. Crystal. That's cute. I dare you to judge me. Okay. So I was around 15.
If you were born and raised in LA.
This is true.
This is your truth.
I mean, okay. I don't know what it is like in other parts of the world.
Or Florida.
Really? Florida too, Nikisha?
Yes. Yes.
You was baby, you dated, you dated one of them. You dated somebody. I'm just letting you know. So, and you met him at a mall. Because that's where, at a mall or a house party. Oh. At a mall or a house party. So, or a skating rink. Or a skating rink. Because they can skate. People don't know. Gangsters can skate. I mean, some of the best. Some of the best turns, they skate backwards, they do the, I mean, they do the tricks, they have whole routines. Y'all don't know that gangsters can skate.
Oh, no.
Let me tell you, if there was a category for thug figure skating, I could nominate several people. They damn near toss each other in the air, they do the twirls. Girl, it's a mess. I mean, you ain't never, it's the most graceful thing you've ever seen, thugs on skates. Thugs on skates is a graceful, it's a beautiful sight to see. No, for real, no. It's to see people so like thugged out, you know, engage in like this ballet-esque, you know, art form to Fantastic Voyage by Coolio, or it was all skate. You know, those were the jams, and they had routines. I don't want to tell you. This was L.A. So...
Good old days.
The skating rink was at the place. Days. Bottom line, I was about 15, met a guy at the mall. You know, I knew something was off. I saw the blue rag in his pocket, you know, but, you know, at the time, I really liked tall guys. And he was tall. And light skin was in. You know, I haven't been back to that movement, but, you know, that's where we were at the time. Baby hair was important. So started talking to him on the phone, and I remember he said he had like, I don't know, like a purple Civic or a purple Toyota or something like that. And on summer break, he stopped by the house and he had a blue Accord. And I was like, oh, that's different than the purple Civic you mentioned. But, you know, I didn't think anything of it. And next thing I know, when, you know, I call him like a couple weeks later, his mom was like, you know, he got locked up for stealing cars, which explains the different cars, right? Totally understand. Now it all makes sense, right? So initially I'm like, well, that's a wrap. You know,
his mom just put
now, this is
out
what you need
like
to
that?
Understand about. So I know we're talking about mamas. I know we're talking about mamas. And I'm not saying every mama whose child gets locked up does this. But I have had situations where the mama literally tries to facilitate the relationship. Like, I know he's locked up, but he's a handsome boy. He's real handsome. You should write him. You know we got to keep him encouraged. I'm like, are you trying to solicit me for your son in prison? So, yes, that's a thing. And so that's kind of how this mom was like, yeah, you know, they got him, but he's still a good person and... You know, he is handsome. They always talk about how handsome they are. And so it's like, I mean, I can't see that. He's locked up. So anyway, so flash forward, you know, she's like, here, he wants you to write him. And I'm like, now, mind you, I'm not thinking, I'm 15 years old. Why you meet somebody 3 weeks and you want them to write you in prison? I don't know. But at the time I was like, oh my God, he wants me to, you know, write him. And, yeah, you know, I wish there was, I know there is time travel. If I could access it, I would make some different decisions. So, you know, I'm writing, and he sends me this letter, and he's like, when you write it, he tells me to, like, do something with the addresses. Or I tell him to do something. I think I told him to do something with the addresses. Because you can't be putting, like, on the letter, like, you know, cell block, AZK, picture. Like that, you know, that shit is going to be like, your mama's going to see that and be like, because I said he was I think I said he was at like a camp or something. I don't know what I said. Anyway, the bottom line is, the nigga don't follow directions. So I was my friend back at the same mall that I met him at. It was the day after Christmas. So, you know, you got the sales. So I was going to hit the sales. Good day. Chilling. Ain't worried about a thing. I mean, felt good. My mom beeps me on my beeper. Yes, people. It was on the beeper. I had this purple beeper. So I'm like, you know, it's all good. So, you know, I call back home from a payphone because we had no cell phones. So I had to go through all these extras, right? Get the beeper, check the beeper, go to the payphone, call my mom back. And I'm like, you know, I don't know what it is. And so she's like calm as I don't know what, like eerily calm, like scary calm. And she's like, I got your letter. And I'm like, what letter do you speak of? Because, you know, I'm not saying nothing till you say something. Ooh. So she's like, oh, girl, you don't even so know. Bad. I literally thought I literally died. So she was like, I got your letter. You know, the one where you told him how to write you so that I wouldn't see the letter? And begins to read from the letter. Like, no, quotes no, me. No, no. Like, quotes me back to myself. Then she goes, so enjoy your time at the mall. And we'll talk about this when you get home. How am I supposed to enjoy? How? What do you mean? Like, that was just some petty. Why would you say? Like, she totally knew there was absolutely no way. Literally, I hung up the phone. My friend looked at me. She's like, oh, my God. Are you okay? I probably looked like death. Like, my stomach, my chest, all my organs were now housed in the bottom of my stomach. I couldn't talk. Oh. I had dry mouth. I didn't know what I was going to do. And so I was like that the rest of the time. I literally had to sit down in the food court because I couldn't move. My legs were shaking. I couldn't move. And I know she just like was so calm about it. And so when I got home, she was like, you know, here's your letter. And I just, if you could like unzip yourself and step out of your own body. I wanted to do that so bad. And then she didn't say anything else. Like, she didn't come at me. And so I'm like, when is this going to manifest? Because like something's coming. And so she let me read the letter and his letter, because it was a letter from him. Yeah, apparently I had sent it wrong because I wasn't very good at sending letters to prison, and something had came back. The letter had came back, and it was just a mess. I went to private school. They don't teach you that, you know? And so the letter came back, but he had also sent a letter. And so she let me read the letter, and girl, the grammar in that letter, was so bad. And my mama said, like, she said, she knew she didn't have to punish me because she knew after I read that letter, when I saw that grammar, she was like, oh, Thea's going to end this. Oh. It was like where and were. Those are different. There and there, different. One has an eye. You know, it was just hard to even get through the letter. I couldn't even take in the conceptual. I don't even know what the letter meant because God. I literally wanted a red pen. So bad. So bad. And
did he draw you
a picture? I didn't get a sketch. I just remember being on like the yellow legal pad paper. What? The yellow legal pad paper. I just remember that.
Two things about that question. Nikisha knows that illustrations are standard on prison letters.
Maybe because it was my first letter. I didn't get that. Yes. Yet.
She's judging that as how much he was into you, whether or not you got
the illustration. You know, because I don't know. But what I would tell you is it was like a 3-page, and I just was like, you know, this grammar. And after that, like, I cut off communication. And do you know that his mom caught me and was like, why you don't write him no more?
What?
Here's the thing, too. What people don't know is that, like, once you link in, then, like, other... It was a thing because other inmates started calling me. I called like on accident, I thought, or like whatever. But then the next thing was like the mom was on 3-way, and I was like, "Is this your mom? Like, I was just, my mom was like, yeah, you, cause she knew I wasn't built for that life. She knew I wasn't. So she just let me, I thought that to me, okay, here's what that says about parenting. You don't always have to bring the hammer. If you know your child, you can be like, why don't you try that? But the G move was definitely, she has always known how to make my suffering before the punishment as long as possible. She would whisper before you went into school, you know I'm going to get you when you get home, right? And then you got to spend all day at school. All day just thinking about. And teacher's like, what's wrong? You go, I just don't feel good. I just don't feel good. That's how she did me on more than one occasion. But that was the main. That's Crystal's favorite.
Oh my God.
I love that story, Thea, and I can't relate to it more than I want to admit. I'm just saying that.
It made me who I am today. I love that story. That's all I can say. It made me who I am today.
Relate.
Okay, so what major decision did your mother make that reshaped or informed your womanhood today?
So my parents had a difficult marriage, and my daddy wasn't always the best. So I think it was actually multiple decisions, and I think it was the lesson beneath those decisions was that my mom taught me that grace is the opposite of pettiness. I can think of a million times she could have been hella petty. Now, I will say this. When she's playing domino, she's petty as hell. She's so petty. We call her Petty Betty. She is so small. Like, if she can't play, she will lock up the game. It's just real small. But in life, you know, she always has this choice between, even when it's, like, completely valid and legitimate to go, like, super petty, low jab, you know? I don't know how, but she always has this calm and presence of self to choose grace. It's almost like she looks at the person and realizes that it's them and not her. Mm-hmm. And in that moment, doesn't give them the negative attention that they're seeking, doesn't give them that feedback. And I think it takes such presence of self and awareness of, like, how the smallest things can impact space. Like, because she could have modeled pettiness for me. And Crystal knows it's hard for me to be petty. Sometimes I can talk petty, but there's opportunities to do that. Yeah. But Crystal be like, you ain't going to do that? And I'd be like, it's something in me that doesn't let me.
Because, you know, I am petty Betty all day.
Petty rubble.
It doesn't let me do it all day.
I will get down in the gutter.
Like, that's one of the reasons that I was going to vote for Hillary Clinton, because I felt like, because she'll get down in the gutter. Like, I want somebody who's going to get down with these folks, because that's what they need right now. So she definitely
has taught me that the opposite of being petty is, you know, being lovely, being graceful.
That's beautiful.
And I think it really has kept me from handling a lot of difficult life situations. I can look back on them, as difficult as they were, or as wronged as I was, or as hurt as I was, and feel good about how I responded. And that's because of what I saw her do, like, repeatedly. And at the time, as a kid, I was so frustrated. I was like, check her! Or, like, you know, just, you wanted to be like, just... And I think for a while, I viewed it as weakness, because I wanted her to, what I thought would be fighting or standing up for herself. But I realized that she was not allowing it to change her, like, not allowing it to make her someone she was not. Mm. And I mean, through all that difficult times, I can say she's been consistently herself and never been a negative or spiteful person. Now, we'll laugh. You know, if something goes down, like, girl, you know what that is, and we'll be laughing about it in the backyard. But we don't instigate it or create it. Mm-hmm. You know, we let nature take its course and let karma happen. And when it does, we'll be like, girl, you know what, you saw that. Mm-hmm, we know it, but that's all, you know. And I think that's something I hope I teach my girls too.
And what's your mom's name?
Monica. Monica Parker. Monica Althea. That's where Thea comes from.
Okay,
So I have a lot of favorite stories about Etta Mae. That's my mom's name. Because Etta Mae is like my favorite person.
She's like everybody's favorite person.
Yeah. She's like super charming. She's so super charming. Even though she does get on my nerves sometimes, she is like my favorite person. So I love talking about her. But I think something transformed for me in the way that I saw my mother, and I knew that she was a G when I was probably like 16 years old. So I was dating this guy, and this girl who liked him had written him a letter asking if, you know, they could like go out or go together or whatever. Basically saying, you know, why don't you leave her and come be with me? So he gave the letter to me. I was like, I just want you to know, you know, she's trying to get with me, and I just want you to know it's nothing there. And I was like, oh, okay, cool. I appreciate, you know, your honesty. So my cousin and I are coming home from school, and I'm like, I'm going to confront her, and I'm going to give her this letter. And the great thing about my mom is, looking back, my mom just let us talk. Like, she listened, but she didn't always interject. And that's a great thing. Like, sometimes I think as parents, we're always trying to interject, but if you just let your kids talk, you can learn a lot of information. Mm-hmm. You just let them talk. Just let them talk. So we were just talking. I was like, yeah, I'm going to confront her at school on Monday. And my mom was like, no, we don't confront people, especially at school, because we have way too much to lose. Like, we have dreams and goals. And I was like, well, you know, I'm tired of people thinking that I'm not going to do anything when people do something to me. And so she was like, but confronting her, that just makes it about you and her over him. You don't want to do that. So why don't you take the letter and give the letter to her boyfriend? And I was like,
what's the genius? Genius.
What? Genius. My cousin.
Pete.
My cousin was like, you're a genius, auntie. You're a genius.
That was amazing.
We would have never thought about that. We would have been suspended.
Small-minded.
Yes. Yeah. And my mom was like, I mean, if she want to roll with the big dogs, hey, this is what it is. Give the letter
rule
to
number
her
one,
man.
Don't put anything in writing. In both of these situations, a letter was a downfall.
Yeah.
A letter was a downfall. And I want you to know, since then, I'm hard-pressed to put something in writing.
Yeah, she's even like that mm-hmm. in our text group.
I'll be like, I'm not talking about this over text.
I gave the letter to her boyfriend, and I remember, I was like, hey, this is the letter. And he was like, oh, is this from you to me? He got excited, and I was like, no, it's from your girlfriend to my man. And he was like, oh, okay, I see what this is. Okay, appreciate it. Thank you. And I mean, you know, it went downhill from there. But, you know, I didn't get suspended from school. I wasn't arguing in school over
it. She lost her man. Dude.
Like, my mom always had moments like that. My sister was dating this guy once. Her G move was just letting us talk. And we were talking about that he had two kids on the way at the same time, but that, you know, like he was good looking and all this other stuff. So he was calling my sister at one time, and he stopped calling. So my sister saw him out, and she was like, that's messed up. Why'd you stop calling me? He said, man, I called your house one time. Your mom said you weren't there, and she asked who it was. I told her my name, and then she said my last name, and I said, yes, ma'am, that's me. And she said, oh, you can't date my daughter. You too fertile. And...
Oh.
I was like... So she didn't always intervene in the moment when she heard us talking crazy. Ooh. Like, she would just
sit back,
mm-hmm, gather her mm-hmm, intel mm-hmm. and just, you know, she knew that the moment was gonna come. So her parenting, like, she was a G like that when it came to her parenting. My sister was like, oh, I'm sorry, I can't believe, you know, she told you that. And he was like, yeah, you know, you're a beautiful girl, but I'm good. Like,
and you're good because your mom, because Etta Mae was right.
Yeah, she was. Yeah, she was. But that was her G move. And in parenting, I think that the decision that my mom made that really, really influenced my womanhood and I think changed the trajectory of my life was the decision to leave my father. My parents had a difficult relationship as well, and my mom is a domestic violence survivor. And my mom had her first child when she was 18 years old, and she had never really lived and been out on her own without a man. And leaving my father was the first time that she did that. And so my oldest sister had gone to college, my brother was off to the military, and it was my sister that's 2 years older than me and my mom, and it was like us against the world. And it kind of showed me, we lived in probably like some really, I know the apartments we lived in were expensive or out of my mom's price range, but I never ever knew that we were poor. I never felt poor. I didn't even know I was an at-risk child until
somebody told you.
My senior year, a teacher was like, you're a great story because, you know, you're an at-risk youth. I was like, I'm at risk. At risk for what? Like, I didn't even know that I was an at-risk youth. But my mom just instilled, by leaving my father, the belief that we can make it, like against all odds. As a woman, we can make it. We don't need a man to live the best life that we want to live. And my mom is 67 now. She joined a gym like 3 weeks ago because she needs to take her workouts to another level. And the church gym wasn't cutting it. And she's 67 and she's like killing the game. And I think that looking back, I see women her same age who didn't make that decision and how it's affected their lives. And I don't think that I would have had the courage to go to California where I didn't know anybody. I don't think I would have had the courage to pursue my dreams because my mom wasn't going to let anybody stand in the way of her being, of her living and being the best person that she could be and have the best life that she could have. And so that was reflected in how she raised us. Like, my mom doesn't understand what I do. She's like, what is podcasting? You're writing a poem. Oh, they give you money for you to come and do poetry? Okay. But she never stands in the way of our being because she knows what it's like to have someone try to hold that, try to hold you down. So I think leaving my father or leaving an abusive relationship just really gave us the courage to not settle in life and to go after the life that we wanted.
And she doesn't settle because she loves C's Peanut Brittle, but she only loves it if it comes from LA, because it tastes different.
I can't order it online because
we have to pack it every, or I have to send it from here, or Crystal has to pack it when she visits and go back because she don't settle.
Yeah, not even in the moment. The day before I gave birth to RJ, I came home from the hospital the night before. And I was like, they said I'm okay. And she, asked what my period was. And I've told you guys this before. And I said, oh, it's around this time of the month. And she said, you're going to have the baby tomorrow. My mother slept sitting up so that she wouldn't ruin her makeup because I may have had to go to the hospital in the middle of the night. And just in case I gave birth in the middle of the night, like, she wasn't going to have time to put on her makeup. And she knew there were going to be pictures. So
stay ready. She knows to stay ready.
Sure.
I love that.
And she even told me, she was like, I really think you should at least do your eyebrows and put on some mascara. And I was like, I'm not doing it. She's like, okay, that's fine. And she will admit it. Like, I'm going to sleep sitting up so that my makeup doesn't get ruined.
I love it. I love her so much.
She's the person who, like, used to wear sunglasses in the shower so her eyelashes didn't. Her fake eyelashes.
No. I've never heard that. Stop.
A lot of tricks.
Yeah, this is before, like, the eyelashes they have now. But, like, so the glue wouldn't, like, so the water wouldn't hit them. Yeah. She's a G. She is a total G.
She really
is.
She's
a total.
Yeah.
All our mothers are. Yeah. Clearly, all of them are.
So this is our special Mother's Day episode. I think we recorded in time so Keisha's kids can get
this
to
spelling bee.
This spelling bee.
Spelling bee. Yay.
Happy Mother's Day. Are you guys going to do anything special? Rashad cooks out for Mother's Day. We're adding a crab boil this year as well.
So, the, you know, Black Grad falls on Mother's Day. So I'll probably do something with the family earlier that day. And then, you know, my mom, she likes to go to Pechanga, which out here is a casino. And that's what she wants to do. Yeah. So what I would like to do is get a massage. So while we do that together, and then your other child can take you to the casino. So hopefully I get my way. We'll see.
What are you doing, Keish?
I don't know yet. Probably.
Oh, because you guys are moving. Yeah.
Getting ready to get out of here. So I don't have any plans. Probably will have a meal cooked for me and be able to put my feet up. And I will enjoy that thoroughly. Yeah.
Okay, well, this is our Mother's Day special episode. Be sure to check us out on Facebook at Dem Black Mamas.
Twitter at Dem Black Mamas.
And Instagram, Dem Black Mamas, as well as on Tumblr.
Yes, and don't forget to email us your questions. Ooh, and on our next episode, we will be answering our first question that somebody asked
Did they?
Us. Somebody emailed
yes.
us.
Yes.
Yeah, see, because you don't be up in the text group.
I do be in the text group,
like
but I'll be trying to save lives at the same time, Crystal. Sometimes I can't What is the question? Is it in the thread? Okay. When was it? Because, you know, these threads are long. I would have to look back five.
Girl. It's like
no, it ain't.
It's way back in the thread. Yes, it is. You don't even know what the question is.
I don't know what the question is.
But we will be answering that question. But email us at demblackmamas@gmail.com. Thea's advice will get you right.
Listen, I will do it. We should post some old truth talks.
I need to think of like a saying. Oh, we are going to be posting some of your truth talks. I need to think of a saying that says something about what you can do for people's breast milk, Nikisha. But I haven't come up with anything yet. Like, Nikisha will help you feel your breast. No, Nikisha will. Nikisha will get you pumping. Nikisha will get you pumping. Right? Right?
Yeah, I
You like that? Thea, Nikisha will get you pumping. We're going with that. So if you have questions about breastfeeding, Nikisha will milk you right. No. You don't like that?
No.
That does sound kind of animalistic. And, you know, black women and animal. I feel you. But Nikisha will get you pumping, I think. I like that.
That's a wrap for today.
So hit us up with those questions. And I don't have any advice, okay? So don't be asking me questions because it's sure to like get you in the streets and make your milk dry up.
Spelling advice.
And one day we're going to come at you with some books we done read, but we just got to read the books.
That is such shady.
Listen,
Nikisha
y'all, they made me read this book.
Small children. Nikisha is taking her kids they to the spelling bee. They made me read this book. She has a lot on her plate.
And ain't nobody mentioned the book. Now, I'm thinking I don't want to hold the team back, so I'm going to sit there and read the book. And folks, it's on chapter two. I can't.
Right. And who has written two books in 1 year and who is still struggling to put their books together is Nikisha and I. Because we have kids under the age of 9.
Let me tell you something. Okay? Let me tell you something.
True.
Read the books. Once a year, we're going to come at y'all with a book review once a year.
We don't have time to lay out in the sun.
Yeah, we don't have days where we can read whole books. We don't have that. We are in the trenches.
This
is not a judgment. I just thought we should address the elephant in the room. It's okay, y'all. We're going
to
have our annual book review by December 31st.
We are in the trenches.
We be trying to be everywhere and do too much. Always. And then it's like, then we get off the line and realize, like, how are we going to do that?
Girl.
We be trying to do too much. I mean, maybe we're not the intellectual podcast that can read books with you. Maybe we can't hold your hand like that.
I want us to
set reasonable expectations for ourselves so we can feel successful.
It is shame and it is shame. It is shame and it is shame. You need to go to the Garden of Eden and pray.
Wait, I changed the deadline, Crystal. I changed the deadline to December 31st. I don't feel that shameful.
I'm not making no promises about December 31st. That's 6 months away. I got a lot on my plate.
Here, Crystal, I'm not making no promises. This is how she gets when she gets a deadline.
I see the Sandman. The Sandman is shuffling around.
Nikisha. Good luck to the girls at the spelling bee.
Good luck.
Please check us out on all of our platforms. And we love you. Have a wonderful Mother's Day,
everyone. You deserve it.
To all the black mamas, you are magic. Okay? And we're out. That's all we got. We ain't got no more.
I'm supporting through tough love.
Namaste. They said you'd be fine.